Well, right now on Nighttime Live, it's time to bring in our arts correspondent. Archie McCullough is our segment from the artspartnership.net and the Arts Pulse blog. Chris Kurzman joins us again this evening here on KFGO. And good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It was a Tuesday night last night, so that means one of two things. You were listening to us on radio and the Twins, or you were watching Fargo. Or the elections, I guess.
That's right. Last night, actually, I was... we had our annual meeting, actually, for the Arts Partnership.
You had the zoo last night.
We were at the Red River Zoo. We had a really nice turnout. We must have had 120, 130 people show up. And it's just a party, you know, and it seems weird because I put together a little photo slideshow that you can check out on our blog. I just kind of did our year in photos. And it occurred to me that people might think it's sort of strange that we did a year in review in the middle of June, but it's helpful to know that our fiscal year, and most nonprofit fiscal years run July to June. So when we talk about our fiscal year, they start in July and they end in June. I think that's because it's when it's least expensive to get accountants. I'm not sure. That's my pet theory.
Very good. So you didn't see last night's show?
I did. I watched it. I've been watching it through Amazon. So I watched it at 5 o'clock this morning. Not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to write a recap for it. So I needed to watch it early.
So I got to ask you, as a guy who does recaps like that, you know, some people around here, like Derek next door here, was telling me he hasn't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They DVR it and they wait till the weekend or something. Does that bring you a problem at all that you can't, that should I say anything? Or
nothing that a spoiler alert at the top can't fix. Because there's a lot of people on the internet do stuff like this where they'll recap episodes and they will give everything away. And the etiquette is that you just put a spoiler alert at the top. Just, hey, so you know there's spoilers. I think a really well done like episode recap for a show won't spell it out for you. I don't think it should ruin the entire experience of the episode. But at the same time, if somebody's watching it, or especially if they're sort of watching it along with like a blogger or something like that, just seeing a recap and hearing somebody else's recounting of it sort of helps your comprehension of it. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy that. And no, I have no moral compunctions whatsoever about saying who survived and who didn't, basically.
I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that I will never, ever wear a red parka with a hood again as long as I live. Of course, yeah. I've never worn one, but I never will either.
That was such a hard scene. Hard scene to watch. Which we'll try not to give too much away. But I felt so bad for her name is Linda, I believe. And in the recap that I wrote, actually, I referred to her three times as poor, unwitting Linda. Just this sweet, sweet, sweet woman who gets dragged into the world of these people and. Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, the red parka. Somebody made the observation on Twitter that that's why you don't go into elevators in Las Vegas.
And we should mention, I've just mentioned to you that this episode last night was advanced a year, right?
Yeah, it actually did that in episode 8. So in the 8th episode, there was sort of a long, this weird pan, and then all of a sudden it's 1 year later. And so all of the characters had sort of changed a couple of different places, and a couple of them had moved around a little bit, and the case that had been going on throughout the show had sort of grown cold. And it introduced a couple of different characters. The two comedians, Key and Peele, play this bumbling FBI duo, Budge and Pepper. So they're brought in, and then they're kind of sort of pushing the plot over the goal line is the way I see it. But I'm just amazed at this. It's funny because I think when we were talking about Fargo prior to it happening, I think it was there was a lot of this. Well, hey, it's the show about the town that we live in. It's still sort of interesting to look back on that and think, oh, yeah, that is pretty interesting. But now I've just been totally sucked into this universe of people who are odd and quirky, and it's so dark. And I think one of the things that I've noticed most about this show that I really like is there's a lot of use of storytelling. And so the Billy Bob Thornton's character, Lorne Malvo, tells stories all the time, and most of the time they're to intimidate people. Even the episode last night, Linda shares this anecdote about when she and her family moved to Minnesota. They're new Americans, and they bought a hotel, and she had to work in this hotel. And I won't tell the rest of the story because it's kind of gross. But so she tells this story, and there's a lot of use of there's the one episode where the rabbi tells these two stories, and it's a fable, it's a parable. And the show uses a lot of that. And I think the show, and Noah Hawley, the writer and creator of the show, wants to sort of illustrate that stories have they illustrate moral choice, and they illustrate what we should do and be morally. And then how the real world just sort of flies in the face of that. And there's circumstance, and there's chance, and there's all these different things that sort of throw a wrench into the best stories. But then those also make really good stories. And so for me, it sets up this really good finale. Like the 10th episode, we have no idea what to expect. And we've watched 9 hours of the show, and we've lived with these characters for that long. It's incredible. I'm really, really enjoying the show.
It is. It's unbelievable. And I watched it last night during the elections. I mean, I was still here. But I said, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to stay here and watch it. I'll just, you know, get the election results a little bit later on.
So. Yeah, and it's well shot. There's great music and the great acting. I think for as much as I hate his character, Martin Freeman is just knocking it out of the park. And Billy Bob Thornton. There was finally a scene with David Carradine and Billy Bob Thornton together in last night's episode, which I was super happy about that they did a scene together. Yeah, it's just a great show. Yeah. I'm really, really enjoying it.
8:15 is our time. Archie McCauley, there's our show now tonight here at KFGO. Chris Kurzman from the Arts Partnership blog. I should say the artspartnership.net and the Arts Pulse blog. And we better do one of these things here which you got on our list before we take our first break. And that's the Corks and Canvas. We mentioned it briefly last time around, but that's coming up quickly now. That's tomorrow, right?
That's tomorrow, yeah. It's every second Thursday of the summer, June through September, or excuse me, May through September. First one was last month. And it's a really action-packed evening downtown. The Plains Art Museum will be opening two exhibitions, one called Heart/Land, which is work by a Minnesota-born artist by the name of Sandra Menifee Taylor. And she's done some really interesting, intricate installation work. There's also a show called Living as Form, and I actually found out a really interesting tidbit about this exhibition today. It was put together by this creative group in New York called Creative Time, and they put together this traveling show of photography and a bunch of socially engaged stuff, and it's been traveling all over the world. And the two last places that it's traveling to are Fargo at the Plains Art Museum and in Haifa in Israel. And a bunch of this was just actually reported yesterday, a bunch of the artists that are part of this exhibition are pulling out of the show because it's being shown in a place in Israel that has some ties to some anti-Palestinian sentiment.
Wow.
So this is a really interesting story. And I'm actually going to be... I'm going to talk to the museum eventually here and sort of get some context on this. It doesn't have anything to do really with the art. I think it's this group actually has a past history of getting together a bunch of essentially left-wing artists and putting them in right-wing institutions for display. And I think they do that to sort of, you know, mix things up a little bit. So, yeah, it's super interesting. All of a sudden, here's this opening in town here, and it's part of a larger global conversation in art, which is really cool.
Fascinating. Yeah. 8:17 is our time. We're going to take our first break. Back with more of Archie McCauley here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Past 8, and you are listening to the Mighty 790 KFGO. Chris Kurzman from the artspartnership.net, the Arts Pulse blog, joins us each and every week. We talk about some of the art happenings around the region. And we just mentioned about the Corks and Canvas. Got a couple of other things that are cooking up here, too. And one is the Red River Water Society. It's the Watercolor Society, I should say. They're having a show over at the MCOMS.
Yeah, that's right. It's opening Tuesday of next week. It's the 20th annual National Water Media Show. So the Watercolor Society has been doing the show 20 years now. And it's a juried show, so they open up submissions from all across the country. Then they hire a juror, and the juror selects the show. And it's got some pretty excellent work. I saw a few samples in a release, and I'm always surprised. I think, you know, we sort of get watercolors. Oh yeah, watercolors in our head, and we think we've seen everything the watercolor has to offer, and there's always some new surprises in there. So that's a really interesting show. Again, that's Tuesday, opens Tuesday at the Rourke, at the Chemkunst, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Is the opening reception. Also next week, another long-running group show will be opening up in Moorhead at the Rourke. They'll have their 55th annual Midwestern. That's an invitational exhibition. I think some 80-plus artists have been invited and will be part of it. It was curated by John and Richard Borgi, who are... John, I believe, still lives and works in Fargo. Richard, I can't remember quite where he is, but he's in New York. So they, and there's a theme for it. The theme this year was Lost and Found. So that opens on Wednesday from 5:30 until 8:30 p.m. That opening, I believe it's a run as a fundraiser for the museum. So I think the tickets are around $50. Check that out.
When you're a kid or your daughter, maybe, you do any water painting? Does she do any water painting?
She does. She's got some watercolor stuff, and then we've got some like tempera paint.
The reason I asked that is because I remember when I was a kid, even in school, I never had, when I tried watercolor, I mean, it seems like I always had too much water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not enough
everything color. Everything ran, you know, and everything was such dull colors, and just, you know, it's really is a, well, I mean, you have to be an art. It's an art in itself to make it even looks like it's supposed to be.
Well, and it can do some really interesting stuff, the way it can blend colors and add opacity and stuff like that. I'm not a painter, but I do appreciate a well-done watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of wanted to jump back to Corks and Canvas. So again, this is the Corks and Canvas tomorrow night.
Jump.
Thank you. we'll jump on our Wayback Machine. At the Spirit Room, a really talented artist by the name of Mikal Joy Johnson will be, she'll be opening a show at the Spirit Room from 7 to 9 p.m. As an opening reception. And the reason I bring up Mikal, first off, this is her first solo exhibition, so kudos to her. I actually have a work of art that Mikal did for me on commission. And I don't know if I've ever told this story. If you've got a couple of minutes to hear the story. So I was friends with Mikal on Facebook, and I noticed that she had done a commission for somebody. It was Superman, and it was like a Man of Steel, kind of dark Superman type of a thing.
Ripping the...
doing the thing with the shirt.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool. You do work on commission? She's like, yeah, I do work on commission. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I've had this really cool idea for a work of art, and maybe you can help me with it. And I asked her if she's a Doctor Who fan, and she's like, yeah, I love Doctor Who. And so then I said, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I want like a North Dakota landscape, but with a little TARDIS, you know, the TARDIS from Doctor Who. I just want the TARDIS in it. And she's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yep. Totally. I don't have a whole lot of money to throw around on art, but I was like, you know what? I will pay you to paint this for me. And she did. And it's wonderful and it's gorgeous. I'll try and find a photo and maybe get it to you at some point. But it's hanging in my living room. I've got a commissioned work of art from her that I love. I absolutely adore it.
Wow, that's
fantastic.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and she's a great painter. She's not just up for fun little stuff like that. She's a terrific painter. This show is actually based around her. She does a lot of research into mythology and folklore. So I think she has a painting about like the origins of Little Red Riding Hood, which are a little bit darker and a little bit less Disney-fied, I think, than what we're used to. So it's a cool show. Again, that's at the Spirit Room.
I know we didn't mention this or before we chatted, but I know, doesn't the Straw Hat Players have something opening up this week?
Yeah, they are currently showing Doubt, which was made into a movie a few years back with Philip Seymour Hoffman and...
Meryl Streep.
Is that the second time you've helped me out with that, I think?
It could be.
It could be, if you're keeping score at home, right? Yeah, they opened Doubt on Tuesday at the Gaiety Stage, and they'll run that through Friday of this week, and it's starring Theater B director Carrie Winterstein, who is a phenomenal,
phenomenal
actor. No, yeah, that's great. And then next week they'll be doing oh gosh. Help me out here. I've got
Funny Girl.
Funny Girl, thank you.
I remember because it said Fanny Bryce in the commercial.
Funny Girl. I've got it there. I've got it written right there.
People who need people. Remember that? Are the luckiest people, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah.
That was in that, wasn't it? Funny Girl?
Was it?
I think so. Anyway. That sounds like I'm ashamed to say I haven't been to the Straw Hat Players in a long time. And I have no excuse, but I mean, I've always enjoyed the work, the quality of work they've done over there. MSUM, just a great job.
I'm amazed at how hard they work. And that I actually did a write-up where I just sort of, I was behind the scenes with them for, you know, a couple hours. And mostly I wanted to talk to the techs, the people who were sort of doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Well, at Straw Hat, a lot of the techs are actors, and a lot of the actors are techs. So there's a lot of crossover between the two. But it really sort of had this feel of like this pre-industrial work environment. Everybody was working really hard. Everybody kind of had their heads down. You know, people were lifting heavy things, and they had leather gloves on, and then they were rehearsing suds. And so it was this really interesting scene of all these people who are work, and they put in these 10-hour days. They're insane. And have this incredible schedule, and how they turn all these around is incredible. It's wow. Amazing.
There was one other thing I was going to mention. I saw a little article on your blog, by the way. You've got our year in review. That looks kind of interesting.
Yeah. I did. That was the slideshow that I put together for our annual meeting, which we had last night. So that was running at our, at our food table. Where we had delicious food. it's primarily just photography that I've done throughout the last 12 months. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do with Arts Pulse is we try to show the people who are doing these things. One of my favorite things to do is get into a room with people who are doing stuff. And it seems simple, but sometimes it's easy to sort of get lazy and like, well, I'll just throw a picture of this. I like to get into a room with people and a camera, and I really like to show these people who are part of our arts community. And so that's part of what I tried to capture with that as well. And I'd like to say, I was looking through, as I was going through those photos, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of coming around as a photographer and get a little better. So that's a little humble brag myself on the back.
If folks don't recall, we've talked many times, but your wife is a professional photographer.
She is. She's 10 times a photographer I'll ever be, which is amazing. She's
but you
incredible.
Get tips from her, right?
We actually, got her camera body, the Canon 5D Mark II that we use at the Arts Partnership. She was selling. So I was like, hey, maybe you could sell that to us.
All right. Let's see. Thearts.partnership.net. That's mm-hmm. the main page.
Correct.
The Arts blog there, right? Arts Pulse blog from
that. Yep. Just look for the link on the right side of the page that says Arts Pulse. And once you click on that, you can find the blog, all the stuff we write. You'll also find links there to our Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, YouTube, and a couple more in there as well. We also do send out a weekly email every Thursday, usually around in the early afternoon, so you can plan your weekend accordingly. You can also, it has a breakdown of stuff we've written on the blog, and then a calendar and stuff like that as well.
Before you go, too, I wanted to ask you, you know, we talked about Fargo at the very beginning, but Fargo Talks Fargo. How's that blog page going? That chat room.
Oh yeah, the podcast. I've listened to. I haven't caught up on the last two or three episodes, but Matt and Bill, the two guys who are running it, are doing a phenomenal job. Not only does it sound really good, and you guys have a nice studio, these great microphones, all that stuff. That's kind of hard for people on a podcasting budget, but they've done a really good job of making it sound really good. They also had an interview with the actress who plays the chief, the guy who gets killed in the first episode, police chief. The actress that plays his wife, they actually talked with her. And she was super interesting. She was really, really interesting. She had some really nice things to say about the show. She's from, I want to say she was from Tennessee. So they had a really nice talk with her about getting the accent down, which I thought was really interesting. She'd actually had a roommate who was from Minneapolis in college. Wow. So they used to sort of trade accents back and forth. but it's a really good, and if you're kind of going back to what you were talking about following along with a TV show or something with people on the internet, that's a really good place to sort of keep up with people on the internet.
FargoTalksFargo.
I think it's just FargoTalksFargo.com. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and it's definitely worth listening to.
Chris Kurzman from the ArtsPartnership.net. Thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO. Mm-hmm. I see Nina Grohlman is in the house, and she'll be.